All right, this evening, please turn with me to the book of John, chapter 2 and verse... Well, let's look at chapter 2 and verse 1. As I mentioned this morning, this evening's message is a little introduction to our new series on Wednesday nights. So thank you for being here. John chapter number 2, notice in verse 1, the Bible says, "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there." Verse 2, "And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage." Now, we won't study these verses out because we will on Wednesday night, but between verses 1 and 10, we see the first miracle of the Lord in Cana of Galilee. And as you know, the Lord was invited to this wedding, and the Lord gave his blessing upon this wedding by performing his first miracle. And as you know, famously, he transformed the water in the water jugs into wine. Now, be assured, the Lord didn't make a drunken crowd even drunker. The word wine comes from the Greek word vinos, which refers to the fruit of the vine. And what they were drinking at that wedding was a luxurious, sweet, refreshing drink that they drank on special occasions in biblical times. And it was a drink that was made of a syrupy liquid made from grapes. And the Lord Jesus Christ transformed ordinary water into that wonderful, refreshing drink that they all enjoyed at this wedding. Now, notice verse number 11, which I'd like to focus on as we start. "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who can do the supernatural. Lord, thank you that you are all-powerful. Thank you, Lord, that you are all-knowing. Thank you, Lord, that you are in our midst. And you have planted this church in this city so that you would show forth your glory in our lives and through this place. Lord, help us as your people to grow through your word. Help us to believe all things. Help us, dear Lord, to believe that you can and will do the miraculous in our lives if we simply believe the promises of God. Lord, encourage us during this introductory message, Lord, regarding the miracles of Christ. Help us, dear Lord, to be excited for what we will learn this year and through our Wednesday night series. And may you be glorified in a greater way through our lives and in this place. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. I heard about an alcoholic who became a Christian, and immediately he began to be criticized by his friends about his newfound faith in Christ. One of his friends came up to him and said, "Look, mate, you don't really believe in the silly miracles of the Bible, do you? I mean, you don't really believe that Christ transformed water into wine, do you?" And he said, "I sure do, because I know in my life, Christ transformed my whiskey into furniture." And you know, Christ is still performing miracles today, is he not? He is able to transform lives. He is able to save souls. He is able to turn someone inside out, upside down, and he is able to do the miraculous. And yet so often we forget we have a God who makes the impossible possible. So often we forget that God is still the God of the supernatural. He is still the God of the miraculous. And this year we are going to be reminded that God is still in the miracle-making business today. Amen? God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. So this evening's message is just a simple little introduction to get you excited about our new Wednesday night series entitled The Miracles of Christ. The Miracles of Christ. You know, so often we face trials in our lives, we face difficulties, we face situations that we think are impossible, and we even may say this: it will take a miracle to fix this. And the good news is we have a God who can do the impossible. We have a God who can do the miraculous. You might be here this evening and you might say, well, to be honest with you, it will take a miracle to save that loved one I've been praying for, to save their soul. Let me encourage you, God is able to work in their heart. God is able to bring along the gospel to them. God is able to suddenly change their ways in order for them to seek Him. God is able to do the miraculous. But will we believe that He can? Will we pray in a way that we believe He can? You know, God is able to provide for our every need. Sometimes we fall into despair, we fall into darkness. We think that we are impossibly stuck and we are impossibly out of the will of God. Let me encourage you, my friend, God is able to turn all things around. He's able to revive us. He's able to provide something out of nothing. God is able to do the impossible. Someone once says, when the outlook looks bleak, try the uplook. Amen? God wants us to look up. And this year, in this Wednesday night series, we are going to look up. And we're going to be encouraged in our faith. We're going to be encouraged to look to the Lord. We're going to be encouraged to pray more passionately and more excitedly and to simply believe that God is who He says He is. A God of the miraculous and the miracles of Christ. Now, as an introduction, I'd just like to look at a few things this evening in preparation for Wednesday night. First of all, the definition of a miracle. What is a miracle? Now, we need to define what a miracle is because so often we use the word miracle so carelessly, don't we? How about when we say, well, you know, it was a miracle that I got to the petrol station before running out of petrol. You know, the line was on empty, the light was flashing, and I had an uphill drive to get there, and I should have conked out, but praise the Lord, it was a miracle that I got to the petrol station before running out of petrol. You know, oftentimes that's where we draw the line. That's how great we think God is. That's where we think the limit of God's power is, getting us to the petrol station before running out of petrol, getting us to church on time. So often we limit God to the little things. But let me assure you, God's definition of the miraculous is far different from ours, isn't it? Why don't we go to the first miracle in the Bible? Can anyone guess where that is? Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. The very beginning of the Bible is a miraculous beginning. The miracle of creation. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Notice what the Bible says. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The Bible tells us that God supernaturally brought the universe out of nothing. Here in verse 1, we see that God supernaturally, miraculously created the three key ingredients to the universe. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created. There's the creation of time, in the beginning. God created the heavens. There's the creation of space. In the beginning, God created in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There's the creation of matter. Time, space, and matter were all created by God supernaturally. You see, in the beginning, God supernaturally, miraculously brought the universe into existence. In fact, notice what the Bible tells us in verse number 3. And God said, "Let there be light." In fact, God spoke the universe into existence. In fact, the word we use, universe, means a single spoken sentence. My friend, God spoke forth creation. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. You see, God is a God of the miraculous. And His miraculous work is much greater than you and I being helped along to the petrol station when we think we're going to run out of gas. My friends, God's miraculous work can be defined as this: a supernatural work of God for a divine purpose that is beyond the reach of man. God's supernatural work for a divine purpose that is beyond the reach of man. You see, God's miracles, the miracles of the Bible, ought to set us back and ought to put us in awe of the glory of God. For isn't that what happens when we look up at the night sky and we behold the stars. I remember sitting in the plane just recently, looking out the window and beholding the glory of God. The firmament, the Bible says, the atmosphere, the skies above display God's greatness, God's wonder. And God's miracles ought to set us back in awe of who He is, of His greatness, of His majesty. And it's beyond our ability to imagine the natural forces that took place to bring all things into existence. But God is certainly a God of the miraculous. And we need to define the word miracle accurately, don't we? It's not a little thing. God is able to make the impossible possible. He is the God of the supernatural. He is able to do beyond what is natural. He is able to go beyond that and do the unimaginable. The God of the miraculous. Now that we've briefly defined what a miracle is, let's look at the design of a miracle. Why has God told us about things that are impossible for you and I to duplicate? Have you ever thought, why has God told us about the miraculous? Why has He written, time after time, a record of His miraculous work among mankind? Well, that's a good question. You see, God's miracles are designed for a specific purpose. They're not just to cause us to get excited for a moment. They have a divine purpose and design. God's miracles are His seal, the evidence of His existence. The very fact that He created the universe, the very fact that He authored this book is a miraculous work of God. In fact, if we did not believe in the miraculous, we would never believe what this book says. Amen? In fact, we have to believe in that God is a God of miracles if we're going to believe anything in the Word of God. I mean, the miraculous work of God is the foundation of our faith. It's the foundation of the Word of God. Not only is this a book of miracles, but the Bible is a miraculous book. It is a miraculous book. When we look at the construction of the Bible, this book is a miracle. Do you realize that you hold within your hands a miracle of God right now in the Holy Word of God? The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God Himself inspired the Word of God. The Spirit of God breathed out the Word of God, and God used human instruments to pen down exactly what He desired us to have this evening. My friends, what we hold in our hands is the Word of God. Praise God for His Word. And you see, miracles are a proof of God's authorship, the evidence of His work among men. Not only is the miraculous a proof of His work among us and His Word, but also the proof of Christianity, the proof of our faith. Back in John chapter number 1, where we started, notice what the Bible says in verse 11. Excuse me, John chapter number 2 and verse 11. The Bible says, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth His glory." You see, Christ's first miracle, the purpose of this miracle was much more than just transforming water into wine. Just doing the impossible. The Lord was showing forth His glory. The Lord was giving proof that He Himself is God in the flesh. That He Himself is the Messiah. He is able to do the supernatural. And the Bible tells us in verse 11, "And His disciples believed on Him." You see, the miraculous is the foundation for our faith. We need to be a people, do we not, as Christians, that believe that God can do the impossible. Amen? We need to be a people that believe that God is a miracle-working God and a miracle-working Savior. The miracles of the Bible, the miracles of Christ, are a wonderful proof that He is the Lord, that He is God. You know, when Christ walked on water, when He stilled the storms, was He not showing that He has power over nature? When the Lord healed diseases and healed the sick, he was showing he has power over our human bodies. When Christ cast out demons, he was displaying the fact that he has all power over the spirit world and the evil powers of this world. When Christ rose the dead to life, he was showing that he has power to raise those who are dead in sin to life once again. You see, Christ's miracles were for a reason. Christ showed forth the fact that he is the Messiah to come. And in fact, in his own very resurrection, Christ displayed very clearly that he has the power to forgive sins. Amen? The Bible tells us that he was crucified for our sins and then he rose again for our justification. You see, Christ is a miracle-working Savior. And the miracles of the Bible declare to us that he is God and he has the power to save. I trust this evening that you've experienced the miracle of salvation. I trust that there was a time in your life that you repented of your sins. And you experience the miracle of Christ's forgiveness once and for all, cleansing you and lifting that guilt and burden, lifting the sin, washing you clean by the blood of Christ and giving you that wonderful peace and miraculous assurance that you are a child of God. I trust that you've experienced his miraculous power in your life. Not only are the miraculous the proof of our faith, Christianity, but also the proof of his blessings. Now, as we've already sung, yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. Do you realize the miraculous in the Bible is the very proof of God's desire to bless us today? Do you realize that God wants to do the miraculous in your life and mine? He wants to do the miraculous through Coastline Baptist Church. The question is, will we dare to believe that he can? Will we dare to believe that he is able to do the impossible? You know, as we briefly introduce this series, time and time again, we'll see different groups and different responses to the miraculous. You see, there will be those like the disciples that will see the miraculous and will believe in the Savior. They will put their faith in the Son of God. They will go beyond what they see and trust in the Lord. Then there are those who see everything that happens and they choose not to believe. In their heart, they just don't believe what they're seeing is true, what they're seeing is real, or has any reason for them to put their faith in the one who can do the impossible. And you see, even as Christians, we can be unbelieving. We can be saved and yet soon forget that Christ wants to do much more in our lives, does he not? He wants us to grow. He wants us to know him more. He wants us to love him more. And he wants to do the impossible in our lives. But so often we limit God by our unbelief. Now that's why we're going to be looking at this series on Wednesday night. Amen. During a time of prayer. Because no doubt you and I need to pray more with greater faith, do we not? You and I need to pray believing. The Bible says it's because of our unbelief that God doesn't answer our prayers. We heard from the missionary this morning, this evening, Brother Cloud. Our missionary to Nepal needs God to do the miraculous, does he not? The question is, will we be a believing people on Wednesday nights as we pray? Will we believe that God can and God will perform his will and good pleasure and answer our prayers when we pray believing? So often we think, well, I might as well pray and let's just see what happens. My friends, that's not believing. Believing is you and I making up our mind first, set in place that he can, and then praying in faith. Amen? The God of the miraculous. He is able. And to all those who believe as his people, Bible miracles are the proof of God that we can trust him for greater things in 2016. Amen? That is the design of the miraculous in the Bible. Well, we've looked at the definition, the design. Next, let's look at the description. Notice Acts chapter number 2. God uses different words in the Bible to describe his miraculous work. Now, I don't think it's ever possible for you and I to completely understand the miracles of God. But God uses different words to help us to stand in awe and give him the glory for what he is able to do. Acts chapter number 2, notice verse 22. Acts chapter number 2, verse 22. In Peter's sermon, notice what he declared in verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Here we see the description of the miraculous. You see, the Bible uses different words to help us to understand the miraculous work of God. Notice the word wonders in verse 22. Wonders. That word describes how people reacted when they saw the amazing works of God. They stood back and they were in absolute astonishment and awe at what they were seeing take place before their very eyes. They were astonished. They were amazed. They were excited to see something beyond they ever thought could be possible. The word wonder. The word wonder describes the miraculous work of God. Notice in Exodus chapter 15. We're going to be looking at a few verses this evening, so please turn over to Exodus chapter 15 and verse 11. Now, God is a miracle working God. No doubt the children of Israel, more than ever, knew that fact when God delivered them out of the nation of Egypt. Remember, as they crossed the Red Sea, God didn't just bring them to a place where the water was low, full of reeds. He didn't just bring them to a place where it was shallow enough to cross. No, my friends, the Bible tells us that the nation of Israel was stuck. They were not at the Reed Sea, they were at the Red Sea. And miraculously and suddenly, God created a wind that blew open the sea, and the nation of Israel walked through on dry land, and the Bible says there were walls of water either side. And the God of the miraculous supernaturally delivered his people with a mighty hand, and as they crossed through the Red Sea and came to the other side, and God destroyed their enemies once and for all forever, Moses, their leader, was inspired of God and in awe of God to sing a hymn of praise to the Lord. Notice verse 11. Moses said, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises," notice this, "doing wonders." Amen? Doing the miraculous, the wonderful work of God. You see, God's miracles are not just in the Bible and not just present in order for us to stand back in awe, but they ought to draw us closer in our relationship with the Lord. They ought to cause us to fall down and worship the Lord. They ought to cause us to praise Him more. You see, God wants to do the miraculous in our lives. He does. He wants to show us how great He is. He wants us to draw closer to Him and love Him more. He wants us to know the reality of His presence. But you see, we need to believe that He is the God that He is. That's why God said to Moses, "I am that I am." Amen? He is who He says He is, the God of the miraculous. Back in the book of Acts chapter 2, not only do we see the word wonders, in verse 22 we see the word signs. Wonders and signs. Now the word wonders describe people's reaction. The word signs describe the reason. As we've already said, the miracles of God are a proof of God, a proof of God's working, a proof of God's hand at work. The miracles of Christ were a sign that He is God. The miracles of the apostles were a sign that they represented the Lord. Wonders, signs, another word is the word powers. The word powers. You see, God wants us to know that He is all powerful. There are no limits to God's strength. Amen. even though we oftentimes limit Him in our minds, in our thought, in our faith, God is not a God that is limited. He is all-powerful. He's able to do that which is beyond our limits. He's able to do the supernatural. Here are some other words to get us excited about the miracles of God. In the Old Testament and the New, the Bible uses words such as great works, great things, glorious things, strange things, wonderful things, marvelous works. All these words describe the miraculous work of God. Do you agree with me this evening? God wants us to be excited about His presence in our lives. God wants us to be excited, and He wants us to grow in faith this year to believe that He can do the impossible. God is looking for a people that believe. God is looking for a people that will do His will. You know, God is looking for a people that will go out soul winning, believing that God's work will do the supernatural work He has designed it to do when we preach the gospel to the lost. Amen. Let me tell you why we don't often go soul winning. We don't often witness, because in our hearts we don't believe that the message God has given us works. We think, Pastor, there needs to be another method. We need to have a different message, or a different way we dress, or a different way we advertise ourselves, or we need to bring in a rock concert to drag in the crowds. That's the only way we can win souls today. My friends, the Bible tells us that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The miraculous, life-changing, soul-saving power is in the gospel. But you see, often we don't believe. And God wants to change that this year. Amen? We need to grow in our trust in the Lord that He can do the miraculous. Here are some wonderful descriptions in these words. Marvelous works. Let me ask you this evening. Do you believe that God can do marvelous works in your life this year? Now, some of us want to believe, but do we really believe? Do we believe that He can? I'm sure if we went around the room this evening and asked around, I'm sure we would all agree we need God to do a miracle in one or more areas of our lives right now. Do we not? Absolutely. Let me encourage you. God wants to do His will. But He is looking for a people who will believe that He can do what He seeks to do. The description of miracles. And on Wednesday night, we're going to look at the doer of miracles, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, why would we look at the miracles of Christ? Why would we look at the miracles that Christ, our Savior, performed? You see, as the Lord Jesus Christ went around during His earthly ministry, doing and performing the miraculous, they were for a reason. They were for a reason. One of those reasons is that the Lord wanted to show us and declare to us the greatness of His love. You see, the Lord's love is much greater than you and I can ever imagine. It's much greater than you and I can ever explore. The length, the height, the breadth, the depth of Christ's love is unimaginable, and through His miraculous work, we can explore in a greater depth and wonder in a greater way at the greatness of His love. Do you realize that in the Gospels we find that Christ is the true miracle worker? Amen? There are no miracle workers around today, let me assure you. Christ is the true miracle worker. And when the Lord Jesus Christ, during His earthly ministry, went about performing the miracles, He displayed the greatness of His love. You see, Christ didn't perform miracles for money, did He? Yes or no? No, He didn't. He didn't say to everyone, "All right, come to my church and bring your seed offering with you so I can give you a blessing, amen," like Benny Hinn. No, He didn't do that. He went to the poor, amen. He went to the lost, amen. He went to the suffering because He wanted to declare to a lost and dying world that not only is He the Savior, but His love is supernatural. His love is a miracle. As He went about performing the miraculous, Christ healed out of love. A wonderful love. Let me say this. If there are miracle workers today, Some of them turn up in Cairns time to time. You might get an invitation. You might be invited by a friend to come to a church, a charismatic church, and be healed by a miracle healer. Let me say this, if that miracle healer can heal, he's in the wrong place. We need to get him out of the Assemblies of God church and get him to Cairns Base Hospital, amen? That's where the sick need to be healed. They don't have any money. That's where they need to be healed. But my friends, the faith healers of today are false healers. But Christ is the true miracle worker, amen? And through his miraculous work, we see his love. We see the greatness of his love. You know, just by way of introduction, do you realize that Christ never performed a miracle on his own behalf? Do you realize he always performed the miraculous for others? My friends, when the multitude was hungry, in love, he didn't send them away. He took a small boy's lunch and multiplied it among thousands. And yet when he hungered, when he was starving, when he was suffering because of hunger, he didn't turn rocks into stones into food, did he? No, he suffered in the body of a man. When Christ was thirsty upon the cross, when Christ was suffering on the cross, he drank from a sponge of vinegar. He relied on others to quench his thirst. And yet he performed the miraculous for the needy. The Bible tells us when Christ was hanging on the cross, and that's why they mocked him. They said, "You raised others from the dead. Why don't you come down from the cross?" Can you see the love of God in the fact that he stayed right there? Though he could have delivered himself miraculously. I mean, he raised others to life once again. But yet he stayed there at the cross. Why? Because John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world." You see, just by way of introduction, very briefly, we see a glimpse of the love of God and the fact that he is a God of the miraculous. And not one time did Christ perform a miracle on his own behalf. He always did the supernatural for us, for others. We're going to learn some wonderful lessons about our Savior, amen. We're going to learn some wonderful truths that will cause us to love the Lord more. Do you remember when the Lord Jesus Christ heard about Lazarus's death? And there we find the shortest verse in the Bible. What is that verse? Jesus wept. Why did he weep? Why would the Son of God weep at the grave of Lazarus? Because of his love. In fact, all those around him said this. They said, behold, let me find that verse, how he loved him. Behold how he loved him. You see, the Lord didn't create a sensation around him to attract people's attention in order to become famous. No, his miraculous works had a purpose. One of those purposes was to display the supernatural love of God for a suffering world. What a wonderful subject for us to look at on Wednesday nights. Let me encourage you to come. Some of you don't come on Wednesday nights. Let me encourage you to be here on Wednesdays. Let me encourage you to make a commitment to our Wednesday night prayer meeting. God is going to encourage our relationship in Him. Amen. God is going to cause us to trust in Him more. Let me encourage you to come on Wednesdays. And as we behold the doer of miracles, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me say this. There's a reason we need to be a people that believe that God is a miracle-working God. Why? Because today we face a great opposition to our faith. You see, we live in a day, and here's another word, of the denial of the miraculous. Do we not? The Bible foretells us in the Scriptures that we will live in that day, and this is the day we are in, 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's look at what the Word of God says. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 3. And verse number 3. Let's read this verse together out loud, shall we? On two. One, two. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Now, very briefly tonight, we need to be reminded that we are facing a generation of unbelief. We live in a generation that denies the miraculous. And in Hollywood, they're pumping out movies left and right based upon Bible miracles and trying to explain away how those miracles happen. In this last heretical movie about Moses, I didn't see it, of course, but I read about it, that the Red Sea crossing wasn't a division and parting of a sea miraculously, but it was a tidal wave. The water was sucked out and a wave came in and destroyed the nation of Egypt. It was a natural reaction to a natural phenomenon. That's what the world is doing with God's miracles today. You see, the nation of Israel, the world says, didn't cross the Red Sea, they crossed the Reed Sea. They crossed the Reed Sea. And suddenly when the Egyptians crossed, the water rose a little bit higher, they got tangled up in the reeds and they drowned in a couple of feet of water. Absolute nonsense. But there are people out there that believe that. And as God's people, we need to reinforce the fact that when God tells us about the miraculous, they are facts. They are absolute 100% truths and facts in the Bible. Though we don't understand fully how they occurred, it does not mean we don't believe them. Amen. We need to be careful to be a people that believe the Word of God. You see, I even heard a story about an explanation of how Christ walked on water. Some of you may have heard it. Scientists have discovered miraculously, a miraculous discovery of science, that there are very extreme weather patterns in the Sea of Galilee. And suddenly, out of nowhere, the Sea of Galilee can freeze over, and most likely what happened was the Lord didn't walk on water, but He walked on ice. You see, He wasn't God at all. It was just a natural phenomenon. That's one of these foolish but easily believed lies in the world today. God didn't do the miraculous. I remember getting one DVD as a present, as a Christmas gift, about the miracles of that occurred during the Exodus. And every single miracle was given a natural explanation. And you might say, well, didn't God use the natural? Well, yes, He can. But those natural explanations, what did they do? They explained away the miraculous. So that, in fact, there was no God. The nation of Israel may have thought there was, but these were just reactions to tidal waves, earthquakes, gas leaks, plagues of locusts that are natural, that are naturally occurring at times of the year. And let me assure you, church family, there is an attack on our faith today, and as Christians, we need to reinforce that we are a people that believe in the supernatural. Amen? That is the foundation of our faith. And let me encourage you, parents, your children need to believe that you believe in the miraculous. Their faith is attacked more than ever before. And we need to be a praying people. Amen? Our children need to see, by the way, that God is a miracle-working God in our lives, personally. How do we expect them to believe if we don't believe? Amen? They need to see God's miraculous hand at work. But that means we need to grow in our faith. We need to trust the Lord more. We live in a generation of scoffers. And let's make sure that you and I don't deny the miracles of the Bible, but we defend the miracles of the Bible. Amen? We need to defend the faith in the day in which we leave. Look, lastly, in conclusion, let me say this. If someone doesn't believe in the miraculous, they cannot be saved. It's impossible for them to be saved. If they do not believe in the bodily, physical resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead for the atonement of our sins once and for all, they cannot be saved. So we need to be a people of faith. Amen? That believe that God is a God of the supernatural and live in a way that pleases Him so that you and I can be the witnesses that God wants us to be. Now don't be worried, we're not becoming charismatic, okay? But let me say this, just because the charismatics have perverted the teaching of the miracles in the Bible doesn't mean that you and I should shy away from what God tells us are facts. What God wants to do in your life and mine this year. Miracles of grace. Amen. miracles of His mercy and His love, miracles in our church. God wants to do a work. But will we allow Him by trusting Him more? And that's just a little introduction. Now, as all-powerful as God is, let me assure you this, He's not going to force you to come on Wednesday night. God is not going to drag you here. That is a choice that you and I need to make ourselves. Can I encourage you in closing to come? Amen. As we explore the miraculous wonders of Christ. God wants to do work in our lives, but the choice is yours. Will you be here? Will you come prepared to pray? And will you come prepared to be built up in our most holy faith? Amen.